Good morning again, Back Roads Churches. What a blessing to be with you again. Can you believe it's already the third week of Advent? Today we'll be, if we haven't already, when you see this, we'll be lighting the pink candle of joy today, celebrating the joy of Christmas, representing the joy of Christ coming to be with us. So I don't have a lot of announcements for you this morning. I'm sure there are some that are in your program. So when you look through those, check out what's going on for the next couple of weeks. I'm sure the times for Christmas Eve services are in there. We don't want to forget about Inner Hope and other things going on in each individual church. So just go ahead, look through your programs, find the announcements for that, and then let's prepare ourselves. It is the week of joy, the third week of Advent, of this time of preparation and waiting, anticipating, repenting. So let's just kind of be in God's presence. Feel God with us. Open ourselves to the message He'll speak to us today through His Word. So why don't we begin with some prayer? Whether you're following us online or if you're in one of the churches watching our video, you've probably shared some joys and concerns. So as I pray, you could be lifting up those names, thinking of those names of people, loved ones who are going through joys, sharing joys, and where they've seen God's hand at work in their lives, as well as remembering those who are dealing with some struggles or just not feeling the season the way most people feel it. So let's keep those in mind. But let's go to the Lord in prayer. Patient Lord, we ask that you forgive our lack of faith in your loving power. We look around us, and all that we see is what we don't have. From inside our self-imposed prisons, we fail to notice the daily blessings you pour out upon us. We tend to see our lives through the expectations we have for ourselves and for others, rather than through the realities that you offer us each and every day. Clear out our blindness, Lord, for the needs of others. Strengthen us and help us move past the lame excuses that we use for not serving you through your lost, lonely, sick, and hurting people. Help us to truly listen to one another and respond with the compassion you show to us, and not with our social acceptable standard answers ready at the drop of a hat. Lord, show us how to truly respond to people's expectations with genuine, loving, and generous hearts. Lord, of delight and surprises, you come to us each day with opportunities to love and support. Remind us of your compassionate presence with us. Help us to be people of loving service. Help us to see the ways in which you enter our lives and enable us to serve you by serving others. Part of that service is to share the burdens as well as celebrate the joys that our brothers and sisters experience. And we know that you've heard our prayers this morning. You listened to our hearts this morning. So we give you thanks. Lord, we ask that you show us how to be your light in each and every one of these situations that come to you through our hearts this morning. We've come to you today bringing our concerns for healing, for hope. Remind us again that you're with us and that your healing mercies are given to every one of us. Give us the courage to be faithful stewards of your creation and bring us together with one another in celebration and service. Lord, lift us up. Bring us forward. Give us the peace of the season, the joy of the season, the hope that this season brings to us. Let us show others the joy that you offer to each one of us. We ask this in Jesus' name. And Lord, hear us now as we pray in the way that Jesus taught his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So this morning, we're going to continue with Matthew. We've been in Matthew the last few weeks through Advent. And I'm going to continue with Matthew. This is chapter 11, verses 2 through 11. So hear these words. Jesus and John the Baptist is the heading for this passage. And here's what it says. When John, who was in prison, heard about the deeds of the Messiah, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?" Jesus replied, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk. Those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me." As John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No. Those who wear fine clothes are in kings' palaces. Then what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly, I tell you, among these born of women, there was not one risen, anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet whoever is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." This is the word of God for the people of God. So last week, we heard the caller ID message of John the Baptist reminding us to repent. And now in our gospel lesson this morning, we find John the Baptist in prison. He's locked away. He's separated, unable to deliver in his mission to warn people to prepare and repent. In this secluded, in this deprived environment, even John, it seems, began to question some of his, began to question if Jesus was really the promised Messiah. So for reassurance, he sent some of his own disciples. John had his own disciples. He sent some of them right to the source. Right to Jesus himself, so they could ask Jesus directly if he was the one that John was called to proclaim in the desert. And in typical Jesus fashion, he doesn't give John's followers a straight answer. Jesus doesn't say yes or no to their question, but instead tells these information hunters to go talk to the people and to listen to them. Among the people is where they'll find the information that John is really seeking. And what did they see? What did they hear when they went to talk to these people? They saw the lame walk. The blind could see. The lepers were healed, and even the dead had been raised to life. Jesus told John's disciples to go back and to tell John what had been happening, knowing that then John could figure out for himself that his work, all the time he spent, the labor he put in, the ridicule he took, none of that was in vain, and that Jesus was indeed the promised Messiah. We all experience times of seclusion and separation where our thoughts and our expectations can lead us down paths of uncertainty and sometimes just overwhelm us. I can empathize with John, locked away with just his own thoughts, forcefully separated from his mission for Christ. I could see how he was probably having a difficult time understanding who Jesus really was at that point. I think there may have been a point in John's seclusion where he might be thinking, Lord, did I miss something? Did I get something wrong? I did what I thought you called me to do. I said what I thought you wanted me to say. You told me that the Messiah was coming. Lord, did I bet on the wrong horse? Where's the fire? The axe? The judgment he's supposed to be bringing? And why, if he's here, would he let me stay trapped in this place? I've heard the rumors about this one called Jesus. After all, he's my own cousin. And I thought I knew him pretty well. I remember that day in the Jordan when I baptized him. The sky opened up. And Lord, we heard your voice bless him. What a glorious day that was. Lord, I was confident that it had started. I was sure that your plan was underway. But where is he now? Why isn't he doing what I said he would do? Is he really the one? Or should I look for another? Lord, this is not what I expected. Can you empathize with John? Can you understand what might have been going through John's mind? John wanted to know why Jesus didn't come with a fire like he had told the people in the wilderness. Instead, Jesus shows up and he loves people. John expected Jesus to bring judgment against the people. But instead, Jesus brings forgiveness. It wasn't that John thought the Messiah was going to do. John expected fire. He expected brimstone. But Jesus showed up with love, with understanding, compassion, and forgiveness. Here's the thing. Jesus knows John's struggles. He knows his internal doubt and his sense of confusion. So Jesus honors John and offers his encouragement when he says, "Truly I tell you, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet he is who is the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." Friends, I want you to know that doubt can be contagious. If John, Jesus' cousin, the one sent to make the path, is experiencing this, then the disciples and the crowds that follow his lead, they must be feeling it too. And in love, Jesus reassures the crowd that John deserves the utmost respect because the message that he brought was right on point. Repent and get ready because judgment is coming. John's message was right for that time, but Jesus' message of God's love and mercy and forgiveness is the message that God is delivering. Without John's message to actually prepare, we won't be ready to hear God's message, or to hear Jesus' message. So today, just a couple of weeks before Christmas, in this season of anticipation, which message do we expect to hear? What message do we expect when we see the child who comes at Christmas? Do we expect a message of judgment, of fire and brimstone? Or do we expect a message of peace and love and joy? As we look forward to Christmas Eve, the celebration of a child born to save us from our sins, what child do you expect to see sleeping on Mary's lap? What are you experiencing right now that's going to influence your expectations of this Christmas message? John the Baptist was trapped in a prison with nothing but his thoughts. And he started to doubt the expectations he had for this baby's ministry. John questioned his own faith. Is it a bad thing to wonder, to have doubts, to have questions? Should we shy away from these twinges of doubt that pop up in our thinking every now and then? As Christians, are these feelings of doubt wrong? Paul Tillich is a Lutheran theologian, and I think he articulated this idea so well when we talk about times of uncertainty and what they can do to our faith. Here's what he wrote. He said, God does not stand aloof or apart from our questioning. Rather, God is in the struggle of doubt, making himself known through it. Doubt, therefore, is a vital part, an element of the faith which justifies. This is what Tillich is saying. He's saying that the doubts we have when we, like John the Baptist, question if what we're doing and expecting is the right thing are actually the ways in which God, through the Holy Spirit, is actively revealing himself to us. Friends, I've had conversation after conversation with people from all walks of life who are wondering where this Jesus, or where is this Jesus that we place our hope in? How much more greed? How much more suffering do we have to endure and witness? Why does it appear that the wicked are thriving while the faithful struggle? How much longer will we be able to strip the world of its resources and be able to survive in our own comfort? We see everything that we remember as good and safe and true being turned upside down. I understand why John asked, why we ask today, Jesus, are you coming to set all of this right, or should we expect someone else? In our waiting, we can wind up doubting our own faith. The truth is, faith in itself offers no answers to appease our expectations. Faith is actually placing your trust in something that has never promised or guaranteed that you'll ever get all the answers to your questions and your doubts. God never promised life without stress. God promised to always be with us in the times that cause us to doubt our faith. Not faith without doubt, but faith within the doubts. Faith is not so much about the answers we know. It's about trusting the God who knows us. We may doubt God, but God never doubts us. We may not know God, but He, with absolute certainty, knows us. This is the gospel. This is our life. This is the love that will never let go, which ends up leading us to the joy that we celebrate at Christmas and actually throughout the whole year. Like John the Baptist, our doubts and our faith, they go hand in hand. He may not be what we expected, but when we look, we can see his message. The Christ child comes and changes everything about life for us. He makes the weak strong. He makes the strong weak. The dirty clean and the sinful sinless. The unforgiven forgiven. Not what we expected. He's like the baby in this following story I want to share. The story goes that Roaring Camp was supposed to be the meanest, toughest mining town in all of the West. It was reported there that there were more murders and thefts there than any other place around. It was a terrible place, inhabited entirely by men, except for one woman who made her living in the only way that she knew how. And her name was Cherokee Sal. At one point, she found herself pregnant with no way of being sure exactly who the father could be. And she died during childbirth of this fatherless baby. The men took the baby and put her in a wooden nail box with some old dirty rags under her. But somehow that just, even to these guys, it just didn't seem right. So one of the men rode 80 miles into town and bought a rosewood cradle. He brought it back, and they put the rags and the baby in this beautiful new rosewood cradle. But the rags, they just didn't look very nice, especially in the beauty of this new cradle with this new life in it. So they had another man ride all the way to Sacramento, where he bought some beautiful silk and some lace blankets. Now they put the baby in the cradle and lined with the silk, and they put the new blanket over this baby. And it looked fine until someone noticed that the floor around this beautiful cradle and this beautiful baby was absolutely filthy. So these hardened miners, the toughest men around, got down on their hands and knees, and with their calloused hands, they scrubbed the floor until it was absolutely spotless. Of course, now the walls and the ceiling and the dirty windows without curtains looked absolutely terrible, not worthy of this beautiful baby. So they washed down the walls and the ceilings. They put up curtains in the windows. Things were beginning to look a lot better. But of course, they had to give up a lot of their fighting because the baby slept a lot. And we know that babies can't sleep during a barroom brawl. So the whole nature, the whole attitude of this Roaring Camp seemed to calm down. They would take the baby out and set her at the entrance to the mine in her pretty rosewood cradle, and one of the men would always stay next to her so the others could see her when they came out of the mine. Then somebody noticed what a dirty place the mine entrance was. So they planted flowers. They made a little garden right there. It turned out quite beautiful. The men would bring her shiny little stones that they would find in the mine. But when they would put their hands down next to hers, their hands just looked so dirty. Pretty soon the general store that was close by was sold out completely. They had no soap and no shaving gear left. You see, this little baby was changing everything. That's also the way it was for those who have placed their faith in this baby born in Bethlehem. This baby enters into their lives. He slips into every crevice of their experience and changes their expectations. The one who John was wondering about, Jesus, the Christ child, born in a manger, came and changed everything about life as we know it. It is this child of change that we await during this Advent season. The child in the manger. The child on Mary's lap sleeping that comes now into our lives and changes us from the inside out. He comes with love to challenge, to forgive, to heal, to restore. I read a story written by a pastor whose daughter taught him a lesson that he didn't expect either. Here's what he writes. He said, "One rainy afternoon, I was driving along one of the main streets of town, taking those extra precautions necessary when the roads are kind of wet and slick. Suddenly," he says, my daughter spoke up from the back seat and said, "Dad, I'm thinking about something." I've heard that from my own kids. It's a scary thing. And this announcement usually meant from her that she was pondering some fact for a while and was now ready to expound all of her six-year-old vision and wisdom that she had discovered. And he said, "I was eager to hear this wisdom." He said, "What are you thinking, young lady?" She said, "The rain." "The rain," she said, "is like sin. And the windshield wipers are like God wiping our sins away." He writes that after the chill bumps erased up my arms, I was able to respond. He said, "That's a really good thought." Then his own curiosity broke in. How far would this little girl take this revelation that's been given to her? So he asked her, he says, "Did you notice that the rain keeps on coming?" He says, what does that tell you?" And she didn't hesitate for one moment with her answer. She said, "Well, we keep on sinning. And God, well, he just keeps on forgiving us." The innocence of a child. She got the message. She had no doubt. Her faith was pure. She hadn't been jaded by the day-to-day grind that can seclude all of us, imprisons all of us. That grind that allows doubt to creep in and causes us to question our expectations. But without a doubt, we may not be able we may not be open to seeking the truth. But without doubt, we may not be open to seeking the truth. And when we seek the truth, we may find out that it's really not what we expected. What are our hopes, our beliefs, our expectations for this child soon to return to us? What do you expect from this child during this Advent and Christmas season? What do you see him doing in the world, in the church? What do you see him doing in your heart? Do you see him restoring sight, opening ears, guiding you as you walk, and healing your brokenness? If you can't see that, ask yourself why. Friends, the gifts that bring the most joy are the ones we receive and then say, "I didn't expect that." To God be the glory. Amen. Let's pray together. Oh, gracious and faithful God, we thank you for meeting us in your word today and for speaking to us in our questions, in our doubts, and in our waiting. Like John in prison, we bring you our uncertainties, our disappointments, and our unfulfilled expectations. Yet we also bring you our longing to believe, our hope for eternal renewal, our desire to trust you more deeply. Lord Jesus, you come not always as we expect, but always as we need. You come with healing instead of condemnation, with mercy instead of wrath. You come with love that quenches our fear. Where we are blind, give us sight, Lord. Where we are broken, bring us healing. Where we are weary, give us strength. Lord, where we are doubtful, plant our faith deep. In this season of Advent, help us to wait with hope, to watch with wonder, to prepare our hearts for your coming again. Not as people who have all the answers, but as people who trust in the one who knows us completely. All this we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, the one who was and is to come. Amen. Go now in hope, even when life is not what you expected. Go in faith when your questions are unanswered. Go in love, knowing that Christ walks beside you, goes before you, and lives within you. And may the God who meets us in our doubts strengthen you in with trust, fill you with peace, surround you with grace. Go in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Go in peace and live in joy. Amen.